This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Kerry Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KABC.com. I am Alan Gervy, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And here to manage your life as well is the laughing beauty I call Kerry Kasem. Kerry, why are you laughing?
The way you open the show is so you. It's so unique. I mean, there's like, it's a rhythm. It's just your rhythm.
I've been doing it for so long.
I know,
it just comes out.
Over five years.
You know, in my sleep the other day, I was saying, I'm the managing partner.
I'm sure.
Your life.
Wife is like kicking you.
Yeah, she told me, yeah, right. You're not managing anyone's life, buddy. So I know where I belong, and it's right here in the studio. We got a really great show today, and it's kind of depressing, I'd say. I mean, it's a great show, but it's really sad.
It's hard content. You know, it's and they even say at the beginning of the show, you know, there's some graphic description of abuse
so
here.
So do we have to give that warning right now, Kerry?
I don't think we're going to be talking detailed sexual abuse, and I hope not, but we definitely...
Well, what if we are? I think we should say that if you're a child and you're listening right now...
To KABC. If KABC had children listeners...
Well, it's not
a kid
station, but it's a really serious, a very important subject. And after the break, we're going to bring Gloria Allred on, and she's on our show quite often. She is on top of this issue. We're talking about R. Kelly today. She's going to talk about her representation of Gary Dennis, who found an R. Kelly sex tape and turned it over to the New York authorities. She's also going to talk about a couple of the victims, the survivors that she represents. And that'll be after the break. But before the break, right now, Kerry, we have to talk to the people, the two who are probably responsible for getting this game-changing story out into the public where it should be, so that R. Kelly can face the music, so to speak. The documentary is called Surviving R. Kelly. It's a documentary series on Lifetime. Unbelievable. Folks, if you haven't seen it, you really have to watch it. Over 25 million people have seen it since January 3rd when it was premiered, and the two executive producers of the show, of the documentary series, are with us today. We have Tamara Simmons, who is also CEO of Tamara Simmons Brand Agency, and worked as a producer for Growing Up Hip Hop and Mary Mary. And we have Jesse Daniels, her good friend, who's Vice President of Development at Creative Inc. and another executive producer of the Lifetime documentary series. Jesse, Tamara, welcome to Gervy's Law.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Well, I'd say most importantly, I'm Tamara's good friend.
There you go.
That is most important.
That was great. I love that.
You know, I read somewhere, Tamara, that you were so taken by the story and by the people who had complained and talked about the sexual abuse of R. Kelly that you went to your good friend, Jesse, and said, we have to do something about this. Is that right?
I think it was the other way around.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, I was giving you props.
Tamara and I very much developed this together from the beginning. It was in the very beginning, we, you know, BuzzFeed, and credit to them and all the other journalists over the years who reported on these stories. But BuzzFeed had recently released something in the news around July or June 2017, and it went viral, but then everything went quiet. No one really wanted to talk about it, and we were surprised. And so Tamara and I just started talking, you know, there are new victims out there. Why isn't this story not being told? Why aren't people outraged? And so that's when we started getting inspired to dig and learn more about what's happening and actually meet the survivors out there and meet the parents whose children are still with R. Kelly. And so one by one, we just started to understand just how deep and complex this story is.
And it seems like it's happening. There's just been this evolution in the last few years of people coming out and saying enough's enough. Let's stop this. I mean, this culture of abuse. And what I am really, and I've only seen the first episode now, and I started to get on online and watch certain things and the videos that R. Kelly had put out and the Facebook stuff and everything. I mean, there's no remorse. There's no like, I've maybe ruined these women's lives. I've hurt so many people. There's nothing there. Is there anything that you guys have like found different? Because I've only watched that first episode.
Well, I think, Carrie, you have to really look at what happened afterward, because really things start to come to fruition after. And congratulations for having such an impact, both of you, Tamara and Jesse, having such an impact on the public. The Gayle King, that interview was
right.
crazy.
Right.
Tell us.
Could not agree more.
Yeah.
Tell us when. Let me ask you, Jesse. When you saw that and he became unhinged, that's R. Kelly becoming unhinged. How did you feel after you had interviewed so many of the victims? How did you feel when you saw his expressions, knowing how he had hurt so many people mm-hmm. and the families?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'd say just to back up a moment, I think that our main goal for us was to just make sure that our victims, our survivors, that their voices were heard, that people believed their stories. And I felt like we were able to accomplish that. And then to see, I guess, you know, after people start talking about Surviving R. Kelly and all these news articles come up, to finally see the interview with Gayle King, we didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what to expect. It was hard to see him play a victim in all of this. That was my first gut reaction. It was really difficult to see him play the victim and not necessarily acknowledge our survivors' stories. It was having been so personally involved in all of this for so long, it was difficult to watch.
Tamara, in mm-hmm. that interview, R. Kelly said, "They are all lying on me," referring to they, meaning all of the victims who spoke up, and there were 50-odd people involved that were on camera in the documentary series Surviving R. Kelly. So when he mm-hmm. said that they are all lying, who is going to believe that? How did you hear that and think, wait a second, you saw these people who were so sincere when you interviewed them on the show. How are they lying?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you watch the documentary, everyone's story is so similar. But even like early in the 90s, or if they were with them in the 2000s or late, like recently 2016, 17, everyone, like, they all didn't know each other. Like, these survivors have now met each other and they know each other, but at the time they didn't, and their stories were so similar. So there's no way that these women could have gotten together and created stories that are so similar. And I guess it would be great actors or actresses, I guess you could say, if it wasn't true. So I think that the public, of course, responded back to it. And I think that's why Saturday Night Live did those skits, because it was right. ridiculous what he was saying. And we could just tell it was very comical. Like, you know, unfortunately for the survivors, it's like, you know, no one is laughing at them because of the situation. But just for him to brush it off and act like he's a victim, it's kind of like, you know, just disrespectful to them also. But I mean, whenever Gayle did the interview, I didn't really expect anything different from R. Kelly, because he made that song called I Admit, which
right.
was not admitting anything. So, I mean, I didn't think he was going to go on, you know, speak to Gayle King and say, yeah, I did these things and I apologize.
Andrea Kelly, his ex-wife, said that I Admit was the stupidest 19 minutes she had ever heard. So that
yeah.
says something. You know, Jesse, I want to ask you, because I want to piggyback on what Tamara said. I want to ask you about the legal implications. Let's talk about whether or not there have been any lawsuits filed against you, Tamara, Lifetime, or anyone else involved in the documentary. Because if he's saying you're lying, then there should be lawsuits. And of course, truth is a defense to any libel or slander lawsuits.
The only thing that's happened, which, you know, we saw publicly, it was right before the premiere. He went out to the press threatening that he was going to sue us. And so in a way, that might have, one could argue that backfired, because it only created more buzz around the project right before the premiere. But other than that, you know, with the production itself, we went into it every single step of the way, wanting to protect the project as much as possible. Anything that we put out there, we collaborated with multiple parties. And so we feel very good about what we put out there. And certainly looking at it from a legal perspective, we had to be buttoned up from beginning to end.
Right. And I'm sure that, you know, for clearance purposes, the Lifetime isn't airing something that hasn't been checked out, that isn't real. After the break, we're going to talk to Gloria Allred. She's going to talk about Faith Rogers, one of her clients. And a letter was sent to Faith Rogers from R. Kelly threatening her about what she had said. So it, apparently it's his MO to go out and threaten people after they expose what has occurred over several years with respect to this ridiculous behavior and just terribly abusive. You know, when we talk about it, and I want to ask you, Tamara, is this, from what you can see, sexual violence? Is it physical violence, or is it just a matter of control? Is it narcissism to the extreme? Mm-hmm.
I believe it's narcissism and control, and it's like, you know, of course, like power. So a lot of it, like if you listen to the survivors, like their stories, or like, of course, Jesse and I have talked to them over developing this for 2 years, you can see that it's not just about like sex or abuse. It is about control for the most part.
These women that I watched come out, these very brave women, tell their story. Some of them, you know, started crying and some of them walked away. At the end of this, did these women say this was cathartic? This was healing. Mm. Thank you.
Yes. For most of them, they're just they're overwhelmed with the response of the support that they received, because the reason why they were silent for so long is because they had this like guilt themselves or shame within themselves. And just, you know, we kept reiterating to them that you're actually going to be helping other women who are not just with R. Kelly, but someone in a regular relationship, like saying, hey, I need to stand up for myself, or I shouldn't be in this type of relationship, or I'm not the only one, or it's not just me. So at the end, they, you know, they all have continued on with their lives, but they realize the impact that they have on other lives, and that's more rewarding to them than anything else.
And a lot of these women were part of his life. In the documentary, we have Jovante Cunningham, who said that she saw him having sex with Aaliyah, who was underage at the time. Was that something, Jesse, that came out while you were doing your research, or how were you able to elicit these kinds of, you know, testimonials that are so poignant and so disturbing?
Yeah. Well, we did, you know, we had 52 interviews, you know, over the course of the production, which is a lot for a documentary series. It's quite a lot. But we didn't know all those 52 participants at the beginning of production. We were meeting new people all the way towards the very end when we were in post. And so really, you don't know someone. You can do as much research online or you know, in other ways as possible, but you really don't know until you get someone in a room and you start talking to them, learning their story, building trust, and just hearing them out. And that takes many, many hours. So we're very thankful that Giovanni, you know, wanted to share her story, which we felt like just added so much to the conversation and helped our survivors as well get their stories out. We're privileged to talk to Jovante.
And when you talk about someone like Lena McClin, who's the former music teacher, I mean, when you see her on the documentary, anyone who thinks that she is not a trustworthy or credible person has to, you know, rethink what their priorities are.
That's right. And Lena McClin was very straightforward. I think she was undeniably, she was said that he was a really talented artist and musician, but on the other end of it, you know, that she did not agree with the behavior that she saw.
She actually told him to knock it off. She said, stop this, you know, like stop
That's
hanging
right.
around these young girls.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
Carrie and I were talking before we went on the air, and we were talking about something, part of the documentary, which is really a fascinating part when you talk about his childhood, his upbringing. You have his brothers on talking about who he was and, you know, and what he suffered through as a child. How important was that, Jesse, for you to include that in the documentary? And do you think that it provided for any sympathy or any kind of feeling of him being a victim? Obviously not justifying what we were about to hear through the testimony of others.
I think it's important to lay out as much facts as possible. And for us, we wanted to really follow a timeline for the doc where we started at the very beginning. And to us, everything is relevant. To hear his upbringing, people might better, you know, be able to draw their own conclusions as to why maybe how this affected his behavior later on and how he got into these abusive situations. And so we had a lot of psychologists unpacking that throughout the doc. So for us, it didn't feel like after people watched it, they weren't coming up to us or saying anything, saying, oh, Kelly's the victim here. They were still on the side of our survivors. I think it just helped provide context and a deeper understanding to the story.
You know, a lot of people can say, yeah, this was what happened to him. You know, he was sexually abused himself. But there's a lot of sexual abuse survivors that don't become abusers themselves. There's
That's
a lot.
Right.
And including Absolutely. His own brothers, you know. So it's just hard for me to look at some of these people and go, how, why? I mean, there is some kind of why there. So I go, okay, maybe that's why, but there's just no excuse. There isn't. If anybody looks at that as he's the victim, yes, in one part of his life, he was a victim. That was terrible, but it doesn't excuse anything that he has done. And I don't understand how he thinks he's going to get away with it by denying everything. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, that may get to the point, Tamara, that you were talking about, the narcissism. How much did it bother you, Tamara, when you saw subsequently, I'm sure you saw that when Azriel Clary and Joycelyn Savage, two women, 21 and 23 respectively, who apparently live with R. Kelly, were defending him after speaking to all of the women who he had abused. How did you feel? And obviously seeing their parents who are saying that they have been hypnotized, so to speak, it must have really been bothersome after doing this project.
Well, I felt sorry for them because I kind of, you know, I said, well, if I was still with a man, like, I couldn't go against what he was saying either. If I was still in a relationship, like, I would be scared to. So a part of me feels like there was a lot of fear that they have, and that's what they had to do, is, like, defend him in order to not possibly, you know, be abused or anything like that. So when I saw it, I was just, I could just tell by their body language that when they answer certain questions that was saying yes, but they were shaking their head no. So a lot of it was just, to me, it was, I just felt sorry for them and then for the families. And also, like, you know, we stay in contact with the families. And after that, I had to help the families, like, understand that their daughter didn't necessarily turn against them. Like, this man, this is what he does. He
right.
separates
uh-huh.
families, you know, and don't be upset at her. Just understand that, like, put yourself in her position, and being that young, you're very easily, you know, manipulated.
Yeah,
so,
no, it makes a lot of sense. You know, Jesse, we only have a minute before the break, and I know you have to leave us. Tamara's going to be able to stay with us. But I just want to ask you, Jesse, before the break, where do you see this going? What could happen to make you feel that this love and hard work, this dedication that you put into surviving R. Kelly was really worth it?
I think we all already are at that point where our main goal was to get these survivors, you know, give them a platform where people will listen and believe them. And then even larger than that, one thing that has really made us proud is it's created these larger conversations beyond just the victims of R. Kelly, but to other people who have been abused in their lives. And I think there are these larger conversations we need to have nationwide where, you know, if you've been abused in your life, you know, and you're trying to confront that in some sort of way, you should know that there's support out there.
Right.
And that you should know that there are people out there who are willing to hear you, believe you, and want to help you. So being able to talk about these kinds of topics in a big way for us has been incredibly gratifying. It's been an amazing privilege, and we only hope that people
right.
continue the conversation in their own daily lives as well.
And that this will be avoided in the future, because obviously for 25 years, this was just something that needed to stop. And hopefully surviving R. Kelly was the impetus to stopping it. Jesse Daniels, executive producer for Surviving R. Kelly, thanks for being on Gurvy's Law today. We
Thank
appreciate
you so much
it.
For having me.
And I know you have to run. Tamara, stick with us because we're going to bring Gloria Allred on, and we'll talk with you and Gloria after the break. You're listening to Gurvy's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job?
Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Clear thinking. Free discussion. AM 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervey's Law, giving you a new perspective to enrich your life. Now, here's your host, Alan Gervey.
Yeah, we're back. I'm Alan Gervey. I'm here with Carrie Kasem, and we are talking R. Kelly today. We just had Tamara Simmons, Jesse Daniels, who are the executive producers for the Surviving R. Kelly documentary series, which was on Lifetime, and just really stirred the pot, got things going, and people like Gloria Allred now on board. People come to her every time there's an issue where women or just victims need protection. She's been the leading women's rights law firm in the U.S. for the last 43 years. And she is well-known and a friend of our show. Want to welcome Gloria. Tamara is still on the line. Jesse had a lead, but Tamara Simmons, the executive producer of Surviving R. Kelly, is still here. But Gloria, I want to welcome you back to Gervey's Law. I want to ask you something. I saw where you said if all of this is true, including all the allegations made in the Surviving R. Kelly documentary, this is the worst sexual predator I've ever seen, and you've seen a lot of them.
Wow.
Well, that's very true. I stand by that statement.
That is crazy. I mean, to think about all of these stories, and now you're representing a couple of victims as well.
More than a couple.
Okay. Well, the couple that are in the... So if you want a name, I know it's Faith Rogers, and you have Gary Dennis, but that's a different story. We're going to talk about the Gary Dennis story as well. But are there other victims who have come to
you? I would say a number of them whom I have named and some whom I have not named because I am there to protect their privacy if they do not wish their name disclosed or the content of their allegations disclosed, then I'm there to support them in that because every client has a right to, decide that they don't want their name to be public, and I will do what my client wishes.
Absolutely. Before we get to their stories, let's talk about Gary Dennis, because you had a very public session, media session, where he spoke about finding this tape that said R. Kelly amongst these sports tapes, because he's a sports aficionado, didn't know where it came from, but was shocked to see what was on the tape. How did Gary get involved with you, and how did you advise him and counsel him on what he should do with this tape?
Well, how he got involved with me is he contacted me, as thousands of other people have done over the 43 years I've been practicing law. And that's how I came to be aware of Gary and his wife, Sally. And what did I advise him to do? Of course, I never say what my advice is to a client, but I am very happy that Gary and Sally made a decision that was very important, which is to make sure that law enforcement would have possession of that videotape, which he believes shows R. Kelly on it. And then Mr. Dennis, Gary Dennis, who says that he believes that there is more than one minor underage girl depicted on the tape. And he alleges that Mr. Kelly is controlling the camera, and that in addition that he is participating in sexual acts with the minors who are on the tape.
Tamara, in your research for Surviving R. Kelly, did you find any of these scenarios? Did anyone come out and say, you know, this is exactly what Gary saw on the tape? This is exactly what happened to me.
None of the survivors have shared that with me, and doing the research, there was not any conversations regarding a tape at that time.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you, because you were criticized, Gloria, by, of all people, Michael Avenatti, a fellow attorney.
Well, that isn't a surprise, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. He's got his own problems. But he said in a tweet, of all things, that you shouldn't release these things in the public without sufficient investigation. Why would he say that, especially someone who is representing victims just like you are?
Yeah, I don't know. You would have to ask him why he says.
We've asked him.
He
won't tell us. Yeah.
Okay, well, I can't speak for why he says or does what he says and does. All I care about is my own clients, and that's, you know, who allege they are victims of Mr. Kelly. And, you know, and I don't feel that it's appropriate for me to respond to people who do not know what my clients have disclosed to me.
Right. And by the way,
who do not know what is on any tape that my clients may have turned over to law enforcement. So there's no need for me to respond to that.
Exactly. And by the way, in 43 years of practice in protecting victims' rights, I think you may have learned a thing or two about evidence and about investigations.
I can say is that it is my opinion that law enforcement was extremely appreciative of the fact that Gary and Sally came forward and provided that tape to them. And the reason that we spoke out at a press conference on Sunday in reference to the tape was that Gary and Sally had, and this is what Gary said, he said, "We have heard that there may be many VHS tapes in circulation which depict Mr. Kelly sexually abusing underage girls, and we hope that anyone who may have possession of such tapes will contact Ms. Allred and turn over the tapes immediately so that they can be taken out of circulation and evaluated to determine if they may be of assistance to prosecutors." So he talks about the fact that he did meet with law enforcement. They were very appreciative that he and Sally had provided the tape to them. And he says, "I hope that others will do the same so that there can be justice in any case that is brought regarding this matter."
How do you respond to Steve Greenberg, R. Kelly's lawyer, who said it wasn't him, although it looks like him?
Okay, well, again, this particular VHS tape has not been provided to Mr. Greenberg, the defense lawyer for Mr. Kelly. So I don't know how he is able to reach any conclusion about who is on the tape, who is not on the tape, since we have not provided it to him to view.
Gloria,
he appears to be repeating perhaps the position of his client. Mr. Greenberg has never viewed this tape, to the best of my knowledge.
Have any of the statute of limitations run out on some of your clients? Has that happened? And I know that, you know, people are working on laws to get that removed and try and, you know, change the laws so we can prosecute these criminals.
Monsters,
yeah. What happens when people come to you and there's nothing you can do?
Well, I'm not ready to reach a conclusion that there's nothing we can do.
Okay.
But having said that, you know, there is a criminal statute of limitations, there's a civil statute of limitations. It's different in every state. It's different for adult victims of child sexual abuse or adult victims of adult sexual abuse. So all I can say is, you know, many of my clients have spoken to law enforcement, have been interviewed by law enforcement. And law enforcement will decide what, if anything, they are able to do or willing to do or both in reference to the information they may have learned from my clients. In other words, whether they will file charges, whether any of my clients will be alleged to have been victims in reference to those charges, or whether that information will be useful to them in some other way without the filing of charges in reference to those particular accusers. So what I think is important is that if a client is willing to speak to law enforcement, that she does so, and that the rest is up to law enforcement in reference to any criminal case that may or may not be filed. I will say this, there are many, many law enforcement agencies, different jurisdictions, federal, state, who have contacted me about Mr. Kelly and many of the clients that I represent.
Yeah.
So this is ongoing. So in other words, no matter what happens in the criminal case filed in Cook County, pending in Chicago, it still may be that whatever the result, others may charge Mr. Kelly or may decide not to, but because there are criminal investigations going on in many different jurisdictions.
You know, Tamara, earlier in the show, we talked about threats against the documentary series Surviving R. Kelly, you and Jesse and Lifetime for putting it on the air. Has that been a concern? Because I'm going to ask Laura in a second about Faith Rogers and the threatening letter from R. Kelly. Did you find or did you fear that R. Kelly, because of his stature of as a megastar, was coming after you either personally or some of the people who were literally pouring their hearts out on camera?
I mean, of course, you see the gun threat that happened in New York at our screening. So there was, of course, certain tactics that were taken and measures that, you know, after investigating, it circled back to him. So during that time, that was like it was really scary for the survivors, and they were very upset because they were thinking, once again, their voices are going to be silenced and that Lifetime wasn't going to air a documentary because of the threat. But then we just overcame it and continued to move forward and say, this has to be done and it has to be told. And then as far as like the legal, like we cooperated everything. Like we had a very robust legal team, and I mean, we fact checked everything. If someone said something, we had to have a witness, we had to have this, this and that. And it was at first, you know, when the attorneys were asking over and over the same questions, I'm like, you guys already answered that question. Like, I already provided the information. But towards the end, I understood why. And so now I'm glad that we had a very robust legal team. It was very needed.
Very important. Very important in any of these situations. And that's why on Gail King, when R. Kelly says that they are all lying on me, I'm sure you both, Gloria and Tamara, beg to differ. Before the break, Gloria, I do want to talk about Faith Rogers' situation, because apparently a letter was sent, and I don't know if it was from R. Kelly himself or his attorney, but threatening her if she was going to go public about STD claims and rape and all of these crazy things, previous sex partners. How did that play into Faith Rogers' decision to go public with her story?
Well, I don't think anyone should ever feel or be threatened or be intimidated, but we took that letter very seriously, especially because Faith had filed a lawsuit against, a civil lawsuit against Mr. Kelly. And then the attorney who had filed that lawsuit for her received this letter. Now, you know, suggesting that, you know, somehow that if she were to pursue it, I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
The lawsuit that, you know, somehow, you know, evidence of her sexual history might come out, so forth. Mr. Kelly, I understand, denies sending that letter. But the point is this. Anybody who threatens someone who is either going to be a witness in a case or has filed a lawsuit, and of course, filing a lawsuit means you are going to be a witness at some point. That is something that really has to be taken especially seriously, because we want people to be able to proceed to assert their legal rights, you know, without fear and without any threats of retaliation. So she's very courageous, and I'm very proud of her. And, you know, she is not deterred by that. But we do take it seriously.
And I think a lot of women are courageous and not deterred when they come to you. They tell their stories. They go into the public. It's important, because if it doesn't come out, no one will know. And that's really what a documentary series like Surviving R. Kelly is about. And that's what Gloria is doing with her clients. We do have a lot of calls.
Some of them. Some of them have not disclosed and not been identified publicly, and have not told the content of what they allege happened publicly. I do want to commend Tamara on the Surviving R. Kelly, which was so excellent, generated so much discussion, and so it's so moving. And they just did a terrific job, and I'm very, very happy that they did it.
Thank you.
You know, we have to take a quick break, and we've got a couple calls here. A lot of people want to weigh in. It's a very highly charged subject. And we'll talk to some of these calls after the break. We're talking to Gloria Allred, Tamara Simmons, R. Kelly. Wow. This story just keeps going on and on, and hopefully there's going to be an end to it, which will put him away from people so this abuse can't continue. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. Australian federal police say they've raided homes in two towns in New South Wales as part of the investigation into Friday's attacks on two mosques in New Zealand. Australian Breton Tarrant is accused of killing at least 50 people and injuring dozens of others at two mosques in Christchurch. Authorities in Australia say Tarrant's family is cooperating in the investigation. Senator Lindsey Graham is defending the late Arizona Senator John McCain over new attacks from President Trump. His comment came after Trump said last in his class McCain sent a dossier to the FBI and media hoping to have it published before the election. The Steele dossier has unproven allegations of Russian collusion, among other salacious claims. Graham noted that nothing will ever change McCain's legacy and McCain's service will never be diminished. KABC SoCal weather, mostly clear tonight with lows in the lower to mid-50s. More news coming up in 30 minutes. Continuing coverage at KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
What's up, guys? It's Elena. And when it comes to dating, many people say love has gotten lost. But if you still believe in love, Match is the app for you. Match has created millions of love stories. They've been number one in first and second dates, number one in marriages, and over 1 million babies made. Plus, the Match app got rid of swiping, so people put more thought into their choices. You can now view photos and read more about the people you see. So download the Match app for free today and find someone who believes in love just like you do.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire shortlist of unicorns.
Now, get a $50 credit to give your first job posting premium placement at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, quality standards, and usage limits apply. Additional terms online.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
No BS. Constitutionally guaranteed. AM 790 KABC.
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervie's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervie.
Yeah, we are back. I am Alan Gervie, and Carrie Kasem's with me. We're talking to Gloria Allred, who represents Faith Rogers and others who have come out against R. Kelly for sexual abuse. As well, she represents Gary Dennis, who found the R. Kelly sex tape amongst his sports tapes and turned that over to the authorities. We're also talking with Tamara Simmons, who is half of the executive producers who produced Surviving R. Kelly, which is the documentary series that led to some indictments of R. Kelly and a lot of talk in the media about what a monster it seems that he is. Gloria, I want to ask you, did you have an opportunity to see the Gayle King interview where R. Kelly kind of became unhinged?
I did. And by the way, if I may, I would respectfully say that I like to call it, you know, a sexual abuse tape as opposed to a sex tape. because, you know, Mr. Dennis has said that it involves underage minors. So if they're underage, then they can't consent, and therefore it's not sex, it's sexual abuse, it's also child pornography. And I hope that anyone has such a tape, if they do have such a VHS tape or a DVD tape that they believe has Mr. Kelly on it, I hope that they will contact me.
Yeah, and Gloria, can I just say, I'll call it the criminal evidence tape, but go ahead.
Okay, as long as it's not called a sex tape.
Right.
Yes, I saw his interview. And he appeared to be certainly, you know, I call it the theater of the absurd, Alan. I mean, he's out of control. He's got a serious anger management problem,
yeah.
It appeared to me. And I can see why some of the accusers might have been intimidated by him, done things that, you know, they wouldn't otherwise have done, perhaps, because while apparently he could be very sweet talking and nice at times, apparently he's got hair trigger response to certain things, and suddenly, you know, gets up and appears to be very intimidating and out of control.
And Gayle King handled herself very well because
She was great.
Anyone would be intimidated. I know, Carrie, you often talk about, you know, when there is that kind of anger,
yeah,
and you've experienced,
yeah,
it, how you maintain
you just
your
stay
composure.
Absolutely. The crazier they get, the calmer you have to become. You just really do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Gloria, did you talk with any of your clients to, if they had seen that and what their reactions were?
Well, of course, a number of them are very troubled by Mr. Kelly's response on that, you know, suggesting that all of the women are lying.
You're right.
And of course, they stand by what they say is their truth about what happened to them. And, you know, we'll find out in a court of law who's telling the truth. But I think in a court of public opinion, there has been certainly a shift to many, many people believing the accusers or standing by the accusers and condemning R. Kelly. And as a result, certain radio stations are not playing his music. And, you know, there have been other repercussions for him as well.
That's right.
He didn't help himself with that interview.
No.
And some of it might show up in a court of law and be used against him.
Absolutely. And speaking of public opinion, let's go to the public. Jen, you're in Maryland. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you.
So we have Tamara Simmons on the line and Gloria already. Mm-hmm. And I know that you had an opportunity to watch the surviving R. Kelly story, the documentary.
Yes, I actually watched it 3 times. And my background, just for full disclosure, I was a television news reporter primarily focused on crime for about 20 years. And I'm now on the other side. I'm on the law enforcement side, working for a law enforcement agency as a director of the media relations division. So I quite frankly have seen both sides of the crime scene tape. But my initial reaction to seeing this program was one of pure awe and respect. I mean, it was so wonderfully produced. From the graphics to the interviews to the storyline to how they built the story and saw it from beginning to end, what I think of real challenges, and not many are good at doing it, but this particular, Tamara, you guys did it, was present the evidence and really allow, and the witness testimony, so to say, with the interviews, and really allow people to come to their own judgments. You're talking about the court of public opinion. One of the things that I think that doesn't happen very often is that when you do these type of stories, you know, you don't always land the plane and you aren't always able to make that difference. I think you've obviously made a difference. One of the things that I did want to ask was, in terms of having the victims come forward and speak, how did that process go? I'm most interested in, because you had so many come forward and so many go into great detail. How did that work?
Well, thank you. And for the survivors, it really was just, I went to the Savages and the family. I talked to them, and they're based in Atlanta, and kind of got their information. And then, you know, I said, well, you guys, do you want to meet in person? After we, you know, had several different phone conversations after they did a press conference, and they were trying to get their daughter back at the time. And so they said, yeah, well, if you're in Atlanta, let's meet. You can come to our house. And went to their house, sat down and had a conversation with them. And from there, they just was like, well, we feel really comfortable with you. And, you know, we want to actually talk to you or introduce you to some other survivors that we've been talking to try to get some insight on what possibly our daughter is going through. So from there, they introduced me to some other survivors, Asante and Elisa Van Allen.
and then just kind of like went from there. So like I would talk to another survivor and they would say, well, I've been talking to so-and-so. I would like to introduce you to her. And as I was talking to all of them, I think that they didn't all know each other. They hadn't met each other, but their stories were so similar that I was just like, you know, really floored at how their stories were so like cohesive. And I'm just like, how is this, like, this has to be some truth. There has to be some truth in there. I was like, we missed the mark years ago of not allowing him to be found guilty and get off with this. So I was like, this can't happen anymore. So from there, they just, you know, was like, well, we want to tell our story. And then we were able to, Jesse Daniels and I were able to come together and just kind of say, hey, I think we have something here. And then as we were, of course, going through the process of trying to see which network would be best and that sort of thing, they gave our information to other survivors and other women. They're like, I'm not ready to go on camera, you know, Tamara necessarily, but I can tell you some things. I can, you know, I can be a witness or whatever you need. So I think the women just, they were all just brave. And the families were just ready for their daughters to come home, and they didn't. They felt that their hands were tied, so they were like, "Well, what else can we do? Like, we need to get this story out, you know, to the media."
Now, Gloria, I was just going to follow up on what Tamara's talking about, because you've often said that you don't push anyone. You know, they have to be ready. You don't want to put pressure on them. But are you finding the same kind of things when you talk to your clients? And does it become kind of this confidence building experience when there are others who also have come to you for advice and counsel?
Well, you're right. I don't tell anybody to speak publicly or not to speak publicly. I tell them the benefits and the risks of any choice that they are contemplating making, and then it is up to them what they want to do. But I'm going to give them what I'll call my tough love and tell them, you know, both the benefits and risks so they can make an informed decision. I had nothing to do with any of the women who did decide. When I say nothing to do, I did not, you know, provide advice or wasn't in any way connected with the appearance of the women on Surviving R. Kelly. I think they were very powerful. Some of them are my clients, but at the time I was not involved with that Lifetime documentary, nothing to do with that. But I do think, I want to say how courageous I think so many of the women were to do and say what they did, and in terms of doing those interviews. And they were very powerful, and I think it has had a major, major impact. So it did take a lot of courage, and I'm proud of them that they did that, and of Lifetime that they did that.
And Jen, you said you watched this show, Surviving R. Kelly, three times.
Yep. Three times.
Three times. That's a lot. That's very heavy stuff to watch over and over. Did you find new stuff every single time you watched it?
Yes, I did. And the fact that I could watch it, and I'm telling you, it was a span of probably 48 hours, well, maybe 72, because I watched it, and then my husband, I was like, you have to watch this, and then we sat down and watched the whole thing, and then we had guests over for the weekend, and that's basically how we spent our Saturday, was watching, you know, from the first show to the last show, because I knew where they were when they were watching it. You could not stop. You had to continue watching it. One of the things that I thought that the show did a tremendous job was providing some, and again, not leading the audience, but providing some ways for us to understand. So, and I can't remember the woman's name, but when she was talking, I think it was a journalist, she was talking about how do these things happen? Because you're watching it, you're like, how the hell did that happen in front of all of us? And I remember all this. I'm 45 years old, so I remember all of it. How did we all just sort of let that happen in the open? And there was an interview, you know, mixed in there talking about how this is how they basically do this. They do it in the open, and it's so open that it's accepted. So I just thought they just did a tremendous job of sort of allowing us to sort of watch it for ourselves, listen to these women's voices, and then give us some perspective, but without judging.
Well, I think people can come to their own conclusions. We just have another minute here. I'm going to ask Tamara and Gloria, and thanks, Jen, for calling. I appreciate it.
Sure.
I'm going to ask Tamara and Gloria, tell us in this last minute what you hope for moving forward with this R. Kelly story. Tamara first and then Gloria.
Well, I think, you know, so far we've seen that by these women telling their stories, in some way they're like
heroes, because I told him, like, I have a daughter. I believe that you helped save my daughter from being in this situation, because I work in entertainment as well. And I think that, you know, everyone is in a scene. Like, you may do some things in the dark, but if you're a predator and you're currently doing that, I believe that the predator's got the message. Like, you better stop what you're doing while you're at it. Or
yeah,
they either are fearing them, you know, like, please let me just, you know, like, probably asking the Lord for forgiveness if they do believe or whatever. But I believe that the message is, this is no longer going to be acceptable in any type of industry, not just the music industry, but worldwide. Like, these women are getting brave. Like, if a woman says you've done something, you are going to have to fight hard to prove that that's not true.
Right.
In these days and times.
Yeah, those are words of wisdom. Gloria, from the legal perspective, what do you see happening in R. Kelly moving forward in this story?
Well, I am interested in what I call the justice piece of this, which is access to a court of law. And let's let a jury decide. That's happening or will happen in Chicago in that Cook County case where there are 10 charges yeah. of aggravated sexual abuse involving allegations by 3 minors and 1 adult. And there may be other charges filed in other jurisdictions. So we don't know. So I would like, you know, Mr. Kelly certainly has his right to have his day in court, but so do many of the accusers who allege they are victims of his. So I'd like to see that happen, both in that Illinois case, but also potentially elsewhere, for others who are alleging that he victimized them, that he preyed on them sexually, took advantage of them, especially when they were minors, but even some as they were adults. And, you know, let's find out what a jury or juries will decide. And I think that's what's important, so that we can all, you know, hear the testimony under oath by the accusers. I doubt that Mr. Kelly is going to testify at all in any of these cases.
he would be advised not to.
It. And the jury will decide.
Right. I would advise him not to after his performance with Gail King.
Well, he should never have done that either.
That's
but that
true.
He did, and that's only going to hurt him in the criminal case.
You know what I call that, Gloria? I call that arrogance. Extreme arrogance. Gloria, I want to thank you for being with us today. Tamara Simmons, thanks. The documentary series called Surviving R. Kelly. It's really worth watching once, twice, or three times. But thanks, both of you.
Thank you.
All right, take care. And that's going to do it. Wow, I feel exhausted. Carrie?
Watch the series. It's good. It's really good.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.